Hello, everyone. It is my joy to be here with you on this glorious Lord's Day. It is a wonderful day to rejoice in the Lord. And I hope you have rejoiced in the Lord today. If not, I ask you just to pause for a moment and do so and rejoice in Him, our God, who loves us so much. I have a daily breath prayer, and no, it's not asking God to fix my bad breath under my mask so I don't suffocate. But I have what's called a breath prayer, and that is me doing exactly what it says in Ephesians 6. That's to keep on praying and praying constantly. And the way I do that is I have a prayer for the day that I could say in one breath. I don't know what you do in your prayers, but I find this breath prayer to be refreshing to me. And every moment that I could kind of have a moment to myself, I would say this daily breath prayer. And today, my daily breath prayer is be with them. And be with them refers to our high school students, asking the Lord to be with them, to remind them that He is there and that His presence would intercept them at whatever they're doing. And they would be reminded that God loves them. So I would say today, as I was driving, be with them. As I'm doing other chores, I would say in a breath, be with them. And maybe some of you have a longer breath than I do. I have very short breaths. And maybe you could have a longer breath prayer, a longer sentence, but mine is like 2-3 words and that's it. So I challenge you to come up with a breath prayer and to rejoice in the Lord and to rejoice in Him continually. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask you to be with us this moment. I want you to really be with everyone that's listening, everyone that is watching, and those who can't hear and those who can't see at this moment, be with them. Be with them in a very special way. Let them know that you are Emmanuel, God, who is with them, that you're the God who came to love and to support and to encourage us. In such a time as this, God, we pray that we would be able to look to you and to seek you. We pray that you would speak to us now through your word and that you would not just inform us, but that you would transform us to become more like you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When the New World of the Americas was discovered, the Dutch East India Company, led by Governor Peter Menou, bought the island of Manhattan. A 1610 map depicts the name Manata twice on both the west and east side of the Mauritius River, later named the Hudson River, and the word Manhattan has been translated as Island of Many Hills from the Lenape Indian language. This island of many hills was purchased via trade from the Lenape Indians for a box of trinkets costing about $25 and some nutmeg. It's Christmas season, we got to throw in some nutmeg. So it was a box of trinkets, $25 worth, and some nutmeg. Today, if you take the George Washington Bridge and you go to Manhattan to see this little island of many hills, it'll cost you $16 in toll, just a slightly less than the $25 it cost to purchase that whole island. And today we know that Manhattan is worth trillions of dollars. A trade has two sides. The Lenape Indians were swindled, and the Dutch East India Company got away with highway robbery. They basically stole this island from the native people. It's considered a terrible trade for the Indians and an unreasonably good trade for the Dutch East India Company. Today I want to say that we may possibly be making a losing trade, far worse than this trade of Manhattan to the Dutch East India Company. And that trade involves your joy. I'm going to ask you, what is stealing your joy today? What is causing your joy to be robbed right under your nose? You may not think that you're losing it. You may not think that you are being robbed, but in many cases, I'm sure that many of you are losing joy, and you're trading something terrible for something that is so great and so grand, it's inexpressible. In today's text, we have joy, and it's described in verse 8 as this: though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Think about those words. God is saying that you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. You know, I do love watching some YouTube videos, and some of the ones I love to watch or the ones where like a father or a mother are serving military duty and they're away for months and months and months, and their child or their mother is home waiting for them, but they don't know when they're coming back, and they surprise them at a football game or surprise them at a restaurant. They pretend to be the waiter and they bring the food over. And when they realize who this person is, you see their face just become all perplexed, and you see this inexpressible joy in their eyes as they break down crying and hugging and loving the one that they've missed. When I see that, you know, I don't cry because I'm a very manly person. I don't cry. Okay, maybe I do. I do cry. It makes me cry almost every time. And I just love to see that reunion, the reunion of someone who's been so far away, who's returned. And in verse 9, it says, you are receiving this goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that's the reason that we rejoice, because we receive something greater than you can ever describe or ever understand. You know, even though Jesus Christ was born a baby and lived as Emmanuel God, and he died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we can know God and glorify him, and though he's risen from the grave to show us that even death could not stop him, he did all that so that we can be purchased by his grace, so that we can know this joy of knowing him and enjoying him forever and ever. It's a salvation that we have, that we possess, that is ours, that was given by God, that causes us to have joy every single day. You are receiving this goal of your faith, and that's salvation. We have joy, so we have to rejoice. We can't have just joy in our hearts and just keep a secret somewhere deep down inside. That joy needs to bubble over and has to turn into rejoicing. Because you are saved by God, and because you're going to heaven, because you're a citizen of heaven, because you're his very own, you are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. Are you experiencing that inexpressible joy today? Right now, are you experiencing that inexpressible joy? It's an interesting word. You're speechless. Your words can't describe this joy that you have inside of you. There's something about you. The world has to see that something about you that makes you so different, because you are a child who has this joy, this glorious joy inside of you. You know, we have an eager anticipation of a future grace that is rushing toward us. We have an eager anticipation for a greater day that is coming, the day of the Lord, when we will see Jesus face to face. Do you long for that day? Do you long for that day where you can see him face to face and every worry, every hurt, every pain just falls? I do. I want him to come soon and very soon. I tire of this world. I want him to come. I long for that day. You know, verses 3 to 9, there's an amazing summary of what you have and what you gain and what is given by God. If you comb through that text, you'll see that you've been given these things. Great mercy, because we know that our sins are great and we need great mercy. You've been given new birth, because we know that we were dead in our transgressions. You've been given living hope, because we know that we had no hope and our hope was dead. You've been given an inheritance that cannot perish. We were once fatherless, but now we are called the sons and daughters of God. And you've been given the ability to be shielded by God's power. We are not weak, nimble people, frail people anymore. We're shielded by his great power. You know, in the English language and many other languages, there are three tenses. There's the past tense, present tense, and future tense. In the past, it says that we have received mercy and we have new birth. In the present tense, it says we are living, we have a living hope today, and that we're being shielded by God's power. And in the future, it says we will have an inheritance that cannot perish. You know, if you ever study scripture and you talk about salvation, wherever salvation is mentioned, it's always mentioned in two tenses, from what I can see. There's never just like a past tense, I was forgiven. It's always like you're forgiven and you're being, you know, redeemed today, or you're being sustained today. There's always two tenses involved. And a lot of us, we think of salvation as only one thing, the past tense. I was saved. I was forgiven from the penalty of sin. But you got to think of it as a present tense. I am being saved today, right? Not from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. From the power of sin. I'm being saved today. God is sustaining us today. And a lot of us, we stop there. Forgiven. I have faith now to live today, but there's a future tense where you will be totally saved, and you will not be saved from the penalty of sin or just the power of sin, but one day we will be saved from the presence of sin. Sin won't be near us anymore. And on that day when we see him face to face, oh, what joy there will be. I hope you understand that there is a future grace rushing toward us to save us and to help us and to bring us closer to him in a way that we've never felt before. So in this, verse 6 and 7, it says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but you face this to refine the gold in you and the impure things may burn off so it may result in praise, glory, and honor. Sometimes we get hung up in the verse 6, in the little things for a little while, the troubles that we may face, and we think it's too tough, it's too hard, it's too much to endure, there's too much grief. The Bible says it's just for a little while. You know, it's what I call chamable or chamoable. It can be endured. You can bear it. You can persevere. But this present pain or this past memory that makes you do something drastic sometimes, it makes you trade that joy that Jesus has for you, that is rushing towards you in this future grace, and you trade that for things of this world, for trinkets, for little momentary pleasures. We trade our joy in Christ because of the smallest things, or worse, for smaller things. And I want to challenge you today. I want you to realize today that that may be you right now. Are you giving up your joy for something else that will not satisfy you? Our students get angry and they get depressed if they have a bad grade or someone says something about them. Maybe it's an annoying coworker. Maybe it's like your kids that drive you nuts. Maybe it's a bad driver. Maybe it's the not so nice waiter or waitress. Or maybe it's your mom who's always telling you to do something and you lose it. You get ticked off and your joy is traded for the smallest thing. Sometimes we lose our joy because a person just cuts us off and we feel that anger burning in us. We lose our joy when the shopping cart line is too long during this COVID and there's no toilet paper. We lose our joy. What is causing you to lose your joy? What are the winds and waves that causes you to take your eyes off Jesus, who has already got you walking on water? You know, some people talk about Peter as failing because he was on the water walking toward Jesus and he saw the winds and the waves and then he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Yeah, it's a negative thing, but it's also a very positive thing. Who else can say, I've got 3 to 4 steps on water? I've walked 3 to 4 steps on water. That's amazing. Maybe you're taking 3 or 4 steps and you're beginning to sink, but it's okay. God has brought you that far and God will deliver you. God will sustain you. He will protect you. He will pick you up. Look to him. Don't let the winds and the waves overwhelm who Jesus is in your life. What trade are you making that helping you to, or causing you to give up that beautiful joy that God has given you? Or what other treasures has your eyes been fixed on causing you to remove your eyes from Christ? We do not cherish the cross and the joy that God gives us through the death of Christ, and we trade it for fleeting experiences, momentary highs, and recognition from people where we need to find that recognition in Christ alone. Jesus can and does. He definitely does satisfy us, but we don't realize that he satisfies us. And we trade that for these little things. And those little things rob us of joy. You know, Christmas season is about joy. It's about rejoicing in Jesus Christ as we wait for him to come, the baby Jesus. And now we're in our second advent. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ. And we eagerly await. We anticipate him to come to bring his kingdom and take us home. You know, back in the day, I used to listen to this artist named Keith Green. Whenever I thought I was doing well in my faith, I would listen to a Keith Green song, and I would be so convicted by his words of this very, very humble man, musician. He said one time that all that we see, all that glitters, all that gleams, all the beauty of this world was created in 6 days with a whisper. But Jesus said that he's going back home to create a home for us. And he's been there for 2,000 years. We're living in a garbage dump compared to what he's been making for 2,000 years. 6 days he made this world. For 2,000 years he's been working on our home. There is a grand, beautiful palace he has for us, a mansion for us. And we easily give that up for the things of this earth. The reason we don't look to God and hold on to the joy he gives us is because we don't trust the joy giver. We measure the giver by the gifts. And sometimes we think the gifts are far greater than the giver. And when we don't get those gifts and we don't have the things that we long for, we look to Christ and we say, he's not enough. When he has to be everything to you. Joy is not what we possess. Joy possesses us. It has a hold on us. Joy is not this fragile thing we hold that can be easily broken and destroyed by the little while of troubles that we have on this earth. No, joy is mighty. It is strong. It can't be blown away by a bad day or a bad moment or even a bad year. Joy is a mighty fortress, and we live in it. We are covered in this joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Say it out loud. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So this season, take joy that you have and show it by rejoicing. Having joy is this internal inner gift that leaks out of you as rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. It's a command. Parents, you need to show more of your rejoicing face and less of your grumpy or concerned face at home. You need to show your students more of your rejoicing, joy, overflowing face than any other face. Because they get the wrong message from you. They think you're saying the better college, the better jobs is so much more important than the joy you have in Jesus. You have to be careful about the signal that you're sending and the message you're sending. I challenge you to put on a face of rejoicing in your home so that your homes will be filled with laughter and joy and dancing. Not just for a season, but every single day of the week, every single day of the year. We, as parents, we must rejoice in the Lord always so that we teach that very important life skill. State of mind, heart of worship to our students. Story I heard from Tim Keller that kind of made me stop and pause for a moment, where he talks about how there was a neighbor, and the neighbor had a child who was wheelchair bound. And because his wheelchair bound child who had an issue with just controlling her motor skills and her speech impediment made the parents' life very, very difficult. And it basically shaped their lives in a way they never thought would happen. And they took extra care to go to extra facilities and extra doctors and educators to help their daughter with the inabilities that she had. One day it was snowing outside and the pastor looked out the window and saw them loading the wheelchair of this girl, getting into their van to go somewhere. And it was snowing really bad. Concerned, the pastor went outside and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing? It's snowing really bad. You guys shouldn't travel today. It's a rough day today. You should stay home. Please be safe." And the daughter looked with this horrendous look in her eyes, like, "No, that's not going to happen." And the mom and dad looked at each other and said, "Thank you, Pastor, for being so concerned, but today is a day that my daughter has been looking forward to for so long. Today is a day where once a year there's this group that commits to help out students in wheelchairs to go skiing. And they have reserved the mountain for wheelchair-bound kids and kids in crutches to go skiing with especially like modified skis. And we've been looking forward to this day. There's no storm that's going to stop us." And he said, "That's crazy. How can she ski? I don't understand." But he saw the joy in their eyes and the joy in the little child's eyes, the girl's eyes, and they took off. And Pastor Tim said, hey, make sure you send me some pictures. You know, I want to see what it looks like. And I guess they were having too much fun. They only sent one photo. And the one photo caused him to stop and just pause. And the photo was this. There was a chairlift on a snowy day. And on the chairlift, you could see the kids going up the mountain, all the little kids. And on the ground, by the chairlift at the ski slope, there were like 13 wheelchairs, empty. And as he looked at that picture, he thought, just for a little while, this suffering. But there's a greater day coming where they will fly into the air, they will meet Jesus, and they'll be free to run and walk, to express their joy. Oh, how important it is for that future grace to come for this family. And how little do I think about it, thinking about my present day sufferings and hurt and pain. There's a future grace coming for us. It's rushing toward us. And one day we will be free from the presence of sin, from the pain of sin, from the power of sin, and we'll be with him face to face. But that joy is not only reserved for that day. We can express that joy and receive that joy and rejoice in him today because we know in anticipation that day is coming toward us. C.S. Lewis says this in the book, The Weight of Glory. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are too easily pleased. You and I, we are too easily pleased with the things of this earth. We base our joy on things that we touch and see, but there is a far more infinite, greater joy that we could have in knowing Jesus Christ. My challenge for you today is to stop and assess what is robbing you of your joy, what little things are robbing you of your joy, and think about this eternal, infinite joy that God has for you, and then brush those things off. Look at the Father. Look at your children. Look at your spouse and say, rejoice. For God is good all the time. Let us pray. We rejoice in you, God, because you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You who began a good work in us, you will not stop until it is completed. There are no half jobs. You finish every work. And we may be going through a point where it's tough, where it hurts, where it feels like you're not there. Help us to be reminded today that your joy is there for us, that your strength is there for us, that your grace is there for us, and that this future grace, the glory of heaven, is coming toward us. Fill our hearts, fill our homes, fill our minds with joy, exceeding joy, inexpressible joy, that cries out to you and says that you are amazing, that you are good, that you are worthy of praise. Let our homes be homes that rejoices in you today and for every day that comes forward. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.